Steven Spielberg presents The Goonies, a Richard Donner film.
Time, Chunk.
Hey, my cousin, Matt.
Whoa, do you guys realize what we could do?
I don't want to go on any more of your crazy Goonie adventures.
Meet Mikey.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Brand. Andy.
Shame, shame.
Come on, Brand. Slip her the tongue.
That's disgusting. No, I can't even look.
Mouth.
I gotcha. Now get out from behind her. You're ruining the painting.
You're ruining my job.
Stephanie. Data.
Body painter.
Ow.
Guys, isn't that neat?
And Chunk.
Flopped.
They call themselves the Goonies. They've stumbled onto a legend, but they're not alone.
Chunk, I hope that was your stomach.
No. That's the it. Sounds like Kong.
Discover what they uncover.
Rubies and emeralds and diamonds?
The lost map.
Whoa! Ray's started the tunnel!
The secret caves.
Hey, Mikey! You can hear me! Run! Run! They're coming after you!
Jocelyn!
The hidden clues.
Mikey!
The treacherous traps.
Just like that last prank about all those little creatures that multiply when you throw water on them.
Take the oath.
They're here.
Join the adventure as Steven Spielberg presents The Goonies, a Richard Donner film.
All right, welcome back to the movies. This is episode 2 of season 2. I'm Ted Flint, joined by Jake Voss, Sean Des Fetchman. We are revisiting Goonies for the first time in a minute. Goonies is a movie that came out in 1985. I think that's 84. Maybe I'm wrong. Is it 85, Jake? I'm wrong? I mean, might as well start off the
85.
Show.
85. No, you were right the first time.
Completely, utterly wrong. Why would I not trust Sci-Fi Channel? It says right there. Sci-Fi of two Ys. That makes all the sense. Anyways, so you want to stream it, it's on there. Anyways, like I said, we are visiting Goonies. This is Back to the Movies. Hopefully you're finding us on whatever. Any podcast app of your choice. iHeart, Spotify, Amazon, not YouTube. We probably should maybe look at that, maybe get our ugly mugs out there. I hear that's the cool thing to do is to show off your face on these clips, you know. I mean,
it's what all the kids are watching now these days, I guess. I don't know.
Part of Utes. Back to the Movies is a podcast where we revisit a movie we have not seen in a minute, or someone has not seen it. I imagine we've all seen Goonies. I would go ahead and guess, even though my memory is complete dog shit, that this might be the movie we've all seen the most that we've done so far. I'll have to go back and look at the list. I bet it's up there. So I feel like it'd be up there.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, it's up there for me for sure. Which, yeah, we can get into.
Yeah, I mean, I was 3 when this came out. This is a childhood thing. It was just in my childhood. Find us at the Tailgate Society on, like I said, that's where you're at, Tailgate Society on your podcast thing. On the website, we are on Blueski. I'm going to be doing more on Blueski. I mean, obviously Twitter. Listen to us, download us, tell your friends, be cool. Share us. That'd be nice, right? People sharing our links and shit. Saying they love us, maybe? No?
Words of encouragement, yelling at us, whatever you got to do, I guess.
Just anyone
just
saying,
interactions,
hey.
Whatever.
Yeah. Engagement. Woo!
we're starting to feel like sloth here a little bit. Not sloth. What is a sloth? What is the hell? Why did I not think that was right?
Just trust what you're doing, man.
He's sloth, the animal sloth? S-S-L... Okay.
No, it's S-L-O-T-H.
Huh. Well, he's not really slow.
No.
Anyways, well, all right, never mind. Not going there. Anyways, before we start, we always like to have where we spoil the movie in 90 seconds or less, because in case you have not seen Richard Donner's Goonies, which Richard Donner directing this is fucking nuts. Like, he's an action director. He did Lethal Weapon movies, a couple other Richard Donner. Like, he did Superman. Man did fucking Superman, the first Superman. So Richard Donner, I bet you've probably seen 10 movies of his, if not more. As always, we will spoil this movie in 90 seconds or less, but I have a wheel. But because I got bored, I made a Rube Goldberg machine again because, you know, Data, you know, someone's going to turn the computer around here. They're going to see I have a wiffle ball and like a railing. There's a plunger involved, some dominoes, some string.
And at the end, a little scared and concerned that you might hurt yourself with this.
Hey, well, here's the thing is the girlfriend said, you know, we haven't repainted this house yet. So we can just, I can build shit in the living room. So there might be fire involved, but it's all going to start when I pull this string. The wiffle ball is going to fall. And just all kinds of calamity is going to happen. And one of you guys is going to get picked by these three little, like those things you throw at, like the Chuck E. Cheese little monkey things that you throw the ball at, knock them over. Anyways, pulling the string and immediate failure. The ball fell off. Fuck.
I didn't want to doubt you, but I was also concerned that the whole thing would work.
I did try, and just immediate failure, immediate. And now the ball rolled against my foot as like a little subtle fuck off. I guess since I got called out today by the girlfriend that I have not been the one that had to do this in a minute, I will do it. I feel like I did one recently. I think that's bullshit, by the way. But I will trust someone else that keeps better track than I do. All right. Goonies in 90 seconds or less is the like first and only, like not only, the first of many kids adventure movies from the 80s, I think. I'm sure it might be one before them. Bunch of kids' houses are going to be foreclosed to make a golf course. And we're going to get into the fact that where their houses are located would not make sense for a golf course at all. It's on a fucking hill. Like, what the fuck is going on? All right, anyways, they have a one night to find money, and they find a pirate map, and they go into the sewer. There are criminals involved. People die in this fucking movie, which 80s, you know, 80s don't give a fuck. They do all these booby traps. They find treasure. They don't get to keep any treasure. A cleaning lady that shows up for a second at the beginning, she ends up finding jewels. And then they tear up a contract, even though they had till that morning to sign it, because they have jewels, which how the fuck is that going to turn around the cash?
Yeah, not exactly a liquid asset.
No.
They tell Troy's dad to go fuck himself because he's a banker, and back in the 80s bankers were shit, and apparently now that gets you a political office because, you know, anyways, yeah, Goonies is in a fun little thing, and it has Rudy in it. I think Sean Astin might be like, is he gonna be the one we do the most movies with? He's up to two.
Probably
also has
I mean, we
Thanos is in this too.
Josh Brolin is in. Is
the Corey brother. Feldman. We did Lost Boys.
Yeah, Corey Feldman doesn't have quite as long of a runway, though.
Be curious to see how Lord of the Rings would go up us.
Yeah, we can do all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, <Why not? laughs> that is. That's a lot of time.
No. Only, what, 3.5 hours a piece or whatever they are?
Yeah, so like we always say, like I said, Goonies is a classic. I assume most people who are listening have seen it or heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's at least knows a reference or something about the movie, like knows the movie exists and a reference to it.
And like, and yet, boomers, elder millennials are constantly tricked with those. Goonies 2 is happening. AI art. That's every like year or two. They're coming back.
Like, and even if it was a thing, I don't think anybody's asking for that.
No.
Like, why would you don't fall for it? Because nobody needs that. Like, what are we doing?
Just make more, like my kids, I said, like, just make more adventure movies with kids.
Yeah,
like, that's what they want. Like, just
like more or less, like you could more or less copy. Yeah, just copy paste this or whatever name other movie and change up the specifics, but make it the same idea and it would go over well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you even get where 25 years down the road, Sean Astin gets to play the other part, you know, as the adult in Stranger Things, where,
yeah,
fucking,
you know, kids.
Goddamn, Justice for Bob works out. That, yeah. Justice for Bob. That was bullshit. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling season two of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Kill him, Bob.
You're so probably fucking,
what's his nuts can get with Joyce is some horse shit.
You're probably okay on the spoilers.
Yeah,
what the fuck is the cop's name? I can't think of it right now.
Hopper.
Hopper. Hopper's a piece of shit in season three of Stranger Things, by the way. And they bring him back in season four, and then they killed him. Anyways.
Now we're encroaching on spoilers there, buddy.
That was like 2 years ago. Prove that you listened and complain about the spoilers.
Yeah, things. Please do.
Jared
_ Leaper on Blueski. I think that's...
Is it still?
Yeah, I don't know if it actually is or not.
You just find him on Blueski. Anyways... What is everyone's first memory of this movie? Which I'm real curious because, like, I don't know if I have one. Because it's just
I have no idea. This is another one that was actually, it was probably, I don't know, at some point, like, because I was a, I'm still, I'm not a small person. Well, I'm short, but I'm not a small person. The whole like truffle shuffle thing probably came up at some point with my friends and I when I was a child. Or younger, but I don't have any specific memories of first like learning of the movie or knowing about it or whatever. I also, you guys would have to carry me on the number of like pure number of watches combined between the three of us. I've seen the movie a couple times. I don't know the last time I actually watched this movie though. I may have only ever watched this movie like twice in my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I watched it with both my kids. And I went to the theater and saw them a couple weeks ago. But man, this thing was on TV all the fucking time growing up. Like,
yeah, so that's where, like, I remember as a kid, like, it being on TV. And so, like, I knew bits and pieces of it, but I probably didn't actually watch the movie, like, start to finish in one sitting until I was maybe, like, an early teenager, you know, maybe 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. I've always loved the movie. I think the majority of the people who have seen it do. I mean, that's why it's got the staying power that it does. But that's where I've since then, I've seen it a lot of times. I don't know, probably 20, 30, somewhere in there. Like it was a movie that I would, you know, was kind of in a rotation of it, you know, just throw it on in the background somewhere, because once you know what the movie is, you know, you could pop in for moments here and there in, you know, 10, 20 minute stretches. And
yeah. If you've seen it enough, you know, all of the plot details and things that happen. Yeah. It's like, it would be a good background movie to just like have on and catch. Yeah.
The thing 5-10
minutes at a time of it or whatever, when you're doing something.
Like Sean said about just catching bits and pieces of it. Like, it is surprising to me. And I've seen it. Like I said, I watched it with both my kids recently. It was at the Oski Theater a couple weeks ago. They had for a couple of days because it's the 40th anniversary. And if you call Oskaloosa, Oskaloosa, you're a cop. It's Oski. And like, it takes a bit to get to the cave. Like, I don't think, like, every time I rewatch this movie, I'm like, man, they don't really get to the cave to like 45 minutes into this movie. Like, it takes them a bit.
Yeah, it's like half the movie, like, getting to, like, actually to that part of it or getting underground or whatever.
And in my head, it was always like they're in the cave super early in this film.
And yeah, that's the part that were stuck in my brain, even the whatever. 10 years since I watched it the last time or whatever it was.
So yeah, I had some today where it was that kind of stretch where I was sitting there. I'm just like, okay, we're not there yet, but it seems like we're not getting there right now. So I don't remember what else happens right, you know, in this 15 minute stretch. And that's somebody that's seen it quite a few times. And I guess even on that note, I was realizing today when I started it, I have very little memory of the actual opening scene of the one for
Telly breaking out of prison.
I almost did not remember that at all.
You didn't think I'd hang myself, did you? You putz or something, you know? And the thing about the opening scene and the opening credits, it introduces everybody during the car chase. Like every single character gets introduced like at some point, you know? And it does a good job of table setting of like, this is where these characters are, this is what they're up to. This is, you know, you have the cheerleader, you have her friend, you have Data, you have Chunk eating the pizza, which explain to me him and the chocolate milk, how that ever happens. Like him just shoving the cup up against.
Yeah,
and also he gets really clean
on the window.
It gets cleaned up pretty well before he comes.
Well, it's funny because they show the shot like from the outside of the window looking like at the front of him, and he like smashes the pizza against the glass. And but then they like flip around, and it's like they obviously had different shots there that didn't line up. And then they have the one where he like for some reason smashes the milkshake or whatever against the glass. And it's like, okay, that's
all right.
I don't know why you would ever do that.
Is that we watched the movie when we talk about. I mentioned they're foreclosing on these houses because they're going to put a golf course up. How? We're like this is on a massive hill, right? Like, how is this a golf course?
Also, yeah, I don't understand. Maybe there is a way that it makes sense, but I don't understand why or how, what the logistics are of foreclosing on everything, like multiple
and how big
houses
is this
all
town?
At once.
Obviously, how big is this town? There's a country club that they fuck with the pipes. So, like, yeah. Are they doing another country club? Like, is it?
Yeah, I don't know the way they. It seems like obviously kind of because I think the Fratelli brother even breaks out of. I think it is like county jail, and it's the smallest building imaginable. And then yeah, he runs through the entire town in a 10-minute chase, and so like, it felt like it was supposed to be like this small town Oregon kind of place, but yeah, then they're just, we need a second brand new fancy golf course in this town. And it's just like, I don't feel like the demand's necessarily there for that, but
fair enough.
Yeah, some of the plot details, some of the plot details don't exactly line up, but that's okay. That's not really necessary for the fun of
right.
the movie.
Yeah,
no, we just like, it's fun as shit. The Fratelli brothers are great. Joey Pants. We're gonna get to him in a little bit. Joey Powell, I can't pronounce his last name.
I'll throw this in here that I, until I saw, I had never put it together that was Joey Pants.
Had to look it up because I was like, I know who that is. And then I was like, oh, he's just like young enough here that I don't actually recognize. Like, he's young enough looking that I don't recognize him.
So I saw his name in the opening credits and I'm like, who is he? And then it took like 2 seconds and it clicked and I'm like, oh my god, that is him.
Dude, he might be our number one because he's done Matrix already. This I could see us doing The Fugitive at some point. He's in that, you know.
He's in John Wick if we ever do it.
John Wick,
yeah, he is. He's the garage, he owns the garage.
That's John Leguizamo, motherfucker.
Oh yeah, you're right, they're the same guy.
Why did you strike my son? Well, it's sure, he stole John Wick's car and he killed his dog.
I think depending on where we go with some of the movies, I don't actually know how to pronounce his name, but Data Short Round. He's in Marvel stuff now.
Yeah, I was looking through a little bit of his because I wasn't sure. I figured there was probably other stuff that I knew him from, you know, when he was an adult, but I wasn't sure. And yeah, I saw some of that, and then
he's in the Loki movies, and he's coming back. He's making
Think Everywhere All at Once.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, this movie's great. Also, like I said, Sean Astin's in this. He's Rudy. Unrecognizable. I understand, like, he's 12 or whatever in this movie, but, like, and also he's Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. And Bob, rest in peace.
Yeah, he does have, like, he's still young enough here that he has, like, he has a definite kid look to him still that he loses, obviously, by the time you get to Rudy, that he looks different enough that, I mean, I think pretty much anybody would still recognize him, but he is still has that like young kid look to him.
Right. And then also Josh Brolin, who's Thanos. So, like, who's everybody's favorite Goonie? But, like, when you're growing up, maybe not Jake, since he's only seen this movie twice, like, you had a favorite Goonie. And hopefully people are saying, like, and I feel like it like, fluctuates as you, like, get older. Or is it just Data? Because Data's badass. Yeah.
I think Data's hilarious, like, just all the way around. I still love him. I was so glad when he showed up in Loki. I was like, oh my god, I'm so happy he's back doing something I'm watching. Yeah, I just love the way he plays his characters, and they're usually fairly similar, pretty spastic and stuff. But yeah, that would have been my answer.
Yeah, I think Data's good. Obviously, you know, he's got all the gadgets and stuff like that, which obviously I think every kid looks at and wants. And you got, I think, especially for as far as the roles of kids, you obviously get a little bit of everything. You get the smart mouth and whatever his actual character name is besides Mouth, but Corey Feldman's character.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? It's a weird name. Like, she calls me there at the end. She, the girl with the glasses, who says something like, you know, you're not that ugly if you just stop talking.
Steph.
And then, no, his name, yeah. Mouse name.
No, no, I know. She, Steph, it might is be the Clark. Character. She,
it might be Clark. It is Clark, I think. We'll find out. I don't know if it's on the IMDb or not. I feel like it's Clark.
It is not on the IMDb. Well, at least not just on the cast page. But yeah, I think you get a little bit of all of that. But yeah, Data's hard to argue. I think everybody wants to be like the Mikey that finds the map and goes adventuring, but like he's also kind of corny and cheesy. So yeah, there's some of that I think that loses a little bit of luster, but he's good. I mean, he's if he doesn't push everybody, you don't find a pirate ship full of gold.
That they don't get. They just get jewels. But
yeah.
Also, I was right. Clark Mouth Devereaux.
Wow. All right. Look at you go.
Richard Data Wang.
Told you need to just trust yourself.
Trust my instincts. Can't go wrong. Lawrence Chunk Cohen. Mikey Walsh. Do we consider Mikey a nickname? Me and my kids are discussing this, how everyone had a nickname but Mikey. Do we consider Mikey a nickname?
Yeah, I suppose. It's not the... Yeah. I think so. It's not his name. It's not his legal name.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, it is on the line of those goofy ones where it's like, well, you're not like shortening it, and you're, it's like, still just a name, but
like, I get everyone else has cool ass names. Do you think like Mikey is like them making fun of him by not giving him a cool name?
Well, so I think the question in my brain that I was just thinking about to figure out if it's a nickname is, when you're an adult, like, when he's an adult, is he going to introduce, like, say, hi, my name's Mikey? No. So that's a nickname. Like, nobody's going to, like, Brandon, his older brother, Brand, is not going to introduce himself as Brand. Chunk's not going to go by Chunk forever, other than from his friends.
Well, I mean, I happen to know a man in my hometown that still goes by the name Bug, and I've tried to introduce him as his name, and he just corrects people.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, and that's...
Southeast Iowa stuff, buddy.
I mean, Missouri border shit right there.
I was going to ask also, just kind of because it's just unfair to call somebody Chunk.
That's rough, man. Jake and I are both bigger dudes growing up. That was rough to get away from that.
Yeah. Do you remember any specific like nicknames, not necessarily that you called anybody, but like in middle school and high school? I know we had some kids in our class that we gave some unfortunate nicknames to that stuck probably more than they should have.
I mean, I went by Slim for a handful of years, and buddy, I wasn't Slim.
Yeah. That's so, like, that feels more innocent to me than like directly calling someone and having their nickname be Chunk.
Dude, the truffle shuffle is some fucking bullshit, but yeah. Also they're 12.
Yeah. So
they're, yeah.
I'm trying to think if there, I don't remember any like actual like nicknames that stuck that people end up being called that they probably didn't want to be and then just had to like go end up going with it.
I mean, I got one, but I'll discuss it off pod.
That's fine.
Much like the pig that got dissected in John's ET class. All right, think about this movie that's really cool, though, is like, you could see these people hanging out. Like, they all, like, legit act like they could be four friends that hung out. And Bran is up there with, like, upper-tier older brothers in a movie, man. Because he could have, like, just vetoed this shit super early, super quick, and be like, the fuck
y'all are going on? Yeah, he kind of tried. I mean, yeah, he verbally, I mean, he verbally tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, to your first point of, like, these people, all of the kids had very good, like, chemistry, or, like, appeared to have very good chemistry with each other, that, like, it strikes me as one of those things where they probably all had a great time, like, while they were around the set filming the movie, to your point of, like, being actual friends. I don't know if that's true, but it comes off that way, and it makes a movie like this so much better when you can get a group of people together that put off that energy.
Yeah, right. They seem to clash well, at least, I don't know, probably not clash, but, you know, at least work together well. It doesn't seem awkward when they're delivering lines to each other. Like, there's some spots, but it's because they're children, like, and you're only going to get so much out of kids.
And they all only one thing going to be like an actor is kid who plays Chunk. Like, everyone else, like, went on and did some more stuff.
Jeff, you know, Cohen.
I think he's, like, a lawyer now, and he's fucking swole, too. Not, like, swole, like, the guy from Mallrats swole and Cousin Earl swole, but, like, he's slimmed down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Probably because he played Chunk, and I'm sure that stuck with him for a minute.
Yeah, got called Chunk for probably 20 years.
Did you guys recognize, and this is us crossing the streams a bit, and I'm already off the rails, that one of the Fratelli brothers is from our audio drops from Landlocks? One of our Landlocks audio drops.
I only realized it when I was clicking through his movies. Does it take me a minute though?
I didn't recognize it. Is it the not Joey Pants, the other one?
Yeah, the other one.
Yeah, that's what I assumed, but I don't know what you're referencing.
I was in junior high. Junior high, dickhead.
Junior high, dickhead.
Just like Saigon. I think he's that guy that's just like Saigon. He's the other Johnson, not the younger Johnson, but yeah. Like, all right. So let's discuss the Fratellis for a minute. They're just the right amount of menacing for this movie. Like, there's a lot of slapstick in this movie. Obviously, the brothers are fighting Sloth and whatever, but like, they're legit dead FBI agents.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have like, some legit violence that happens in the movie, and then them just like waving guns around at each other when they're like yelling at each other. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they find a guy in the freezer with a very clear bullet hole in his head.
But really though, I mean, I guess the more I think about it, idiots waving guns at each other when they're also dumb and menacing tracks and current climate. But yeah, like, would you eat ice cream from an ice cream freezer where there's a dead body stored, is the question.
I don't think I would have the appetite at that point to want to just eat the ice cream, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's especially the going back to it after they after they capture him and they're eating ice cream, and then Chunk still eats more of it, and it's just, yeah, man, I don't know.
I mean, that's... his name is Chunk, and he's hungry, so
always, like, apparently.
I mean, his parents bring him a Domino's pizza at, I assume, 8 in the morning. Dude, we're gonna get to the Domino's about
just like, hey, they found your kid. Oh, hell yeah. And then on the way there, you gotta stop and get him.
Gotta grab a pizza.
There's no way Domino's was open. That shit was like at 9 a.m.
I mean, the kid could smell ice cream through a giant freezer door, so I guess he's just...
That's pizza? Just,
that's like
pepperoni? Just different, yeah.
Sean, that's like when you hear it, like, you smell a Jaeger bomb getting poured down the bar,
okay.
Pull out Scooby-Doo, where, like, you start floating down the bar. Is that Jaeger? Jaeger?
Ooh, I know that one. Yeah.
Kind of like when I was in Vegas with Brock Eye and... they had coffee flavored Jaeger, and the dude had to dig to the bottom of the goddamn container to find it. And he's like, well, since you mentioned it, we have to try it. And I'm like, do we? As he's pouring the shots of straight coffee flavored Jaeger. Spoilers alert. Not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, I don't like Jaeger to start with. And so.
It was years ago.
It's been around for a while. It came out, was out a long time ago. I don't know. I'm guessing it's probably not a thing anymore, but yeah.
Should we ask my dog, who's now right next to my microphone, if she has songs?
She wants to join in. She have any feedback? I don't think so. Doesn't seem like it.
All right, so as a kid, would like are you going in the cave? 12-year-old Jake and Tez, are you going down the hole into the cave?
Down the
fireplace.
The fireplace? I mean, at that point, yeah. At the point they went down.
For the situation, for what it is, yeah, maybe I was.
If I didn't think kid, that,
so
if
I
there
don't
were.
Know. If I wouldn't there unless I had to.
People coming to like kidnap me or threaten me or kill me or whatever, then no, probably not. But once we got to that point in the situation, sure, might as well. We found a hole in the floor and we think it might lead us to treasure. Let's go explore.
Yeah, at that point, you just got to.
Except Chunk. I was always mad as a kid that Chunk didn't get to go in the cave. Like, he didn't get to do
with the group, yeah.
Probably because I was a chubby kid. I'm sure that might have had something to do with it. But, like, why can't he go on the adventure? You know, he does stay there.
Because he's the perfect character to be matched up with Sloth eventually. That's why.
Yeah, that is.
Baby Ruth.
I do think one of my favorite running things of the whole movie is if we need to break something, just give it to Chunk and he'll just accidentally fuck it up.
Yes, he literally counts. He gives him the when Mikey initially finds the map like framed or whatever, just gives it to him and counts down to five or counts up to five.
Just the full countdown. I know what's coming.
It's so good.
So, all right, let's look at some of these categories here. We've been bouncing around that for a minute. All right, since Jake, you said this is like your second or third time watching it. Is there anything from this movie that you did not realize was from this movie?
Oh.
Or like, even if it's like a cliche, and you're like, oh, I wonder if that happened here first.
I don't think there were any of the big memorable things that get referenced as far as stuff that's memed, quoted, clips that are posted. I don't think any of that stuff, I knew all that stuff. I guess I actually, this is going to sound stupid after saying that, like Dave.
Oh no, I'm here for it. Let's go. Let's do it.
No, it's just the fact that like I couldn't have told you that Data was in this movie. Like that kid actor is just like he's always short round to me. Every time I see him anywhere, he's just short round.
It took me too long to now realize that you're talking about Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck is short round this
movie? All it's right, always I'm, like that was the first time I ever saw him in anything. And also, that's just always what he is in my brain.
Also, his quote in Everything Everywhere at Once cuts like a fucking knife. I don't know if you guys have actually sat down and watched that movie, but his quote about him and his wife. Well, his wife's not at that point, but yeah.
I did not know what you're referencing. I think I started that movie once and then got like had to do something and never finished it. So
it's yeah, like all about,
but it's a lot.
All right. It's all about parallel lives. And he says to like the main character, goes, like, somewhere in life, I hope we're just doing taxes and shit. Yeah, short round Data. He's amazing. His what's your favorite? What's of his inventions? What's your favorite?
The favorite.
And can you pronounce them all correctly?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, I absolutely cannot. The only one I know, pincher apparel.
I think maybe they're okay. So there's the boxing glove that comes out of nowhere.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Like that one is funny because it's like, where the hell did that come from and where has it been the whole time?
I'm looking at him right now. He's shit.
And he's like, yeah, it's obviously not, that would be something you notice. But when they first asked, does anybody have a light? And he like turns around and flips it, like turns the like blinding lights on and they last for like 10 seconds. And he's like, oh yeah, that's the downside is the battery doesn't last very long. I think that's probably my favorite one out of them just because it was like, oh yeah, of course the blinding lights aren't going to last very long.
Can we discuss what happens to me in a log if my shoes are squirting oil and how horribly I get fucking injured?
Yeah. Like, that's the one that feels like it's maybe, Okay, I don't necessarily want to say this.
Oh, go ahead, say it.
It feels like the one that's maybe most difficult to keep intact without ever accidentally going off is just apparently huge oil packets in the soles of your shoes that squirt out when you want it to.
Low battery life. Right. And then we have the bungee cord of the teeth that somehow save his ass from the spikes.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a slinky with the classic like dent, like,
all right, let's discuss that booby trap. I mean, not the talk shit about One Eyed Willie. What's the play there if you're a pirate coming back? So the things all fall and then the floor opens, right? Was the floor open?
You're like, talking about when he falls?
Yeah, is that a different booby trap? That's the bowling.
Yeah, ball, right? that was the bowling ball. That was the cannonball. The whatever, the turning the thing and trapping your hand.
How did they all get down then? Is there stairs to like the left that we don't see? Like how, like, because they continue on from that area.
Yeah,
see,
I think
so. There's a rope. They show a rope. All right, they show a rope. But what's the pirate's idea? Like the floor opens up, and then you climb down on a rope. Like what is the? I'm questioning that asshole's logic. I'm just saying. He might not have had the best interest in
they didn't provide the what you're supposed to do solution to that. It was just they just showed the trap and that was it. So I don't
Starting
to question his leadership skills, what I'm saying.
You're gonna question his leadership skills, the guy that killed all of his crew after locking the boat in a cave or whatever.
I mean, you want to talk about somebody that's questionable at best. I want to talk about Chester Copperpot, who got on the first booby trap of the entire thing.
Dude.
And he's an expert.
I watched that movie and like I made a whatever the hell, the skeet skeet motherfuckers they are on Blue Ski. I know Chester Copperpot's fucking name. And I knew going into the movie, like, oh, the guy they find is Chester Copperpot. I couldn't tell you what I ate 2 days ago. Like, fuck, what was the last 2 days ago? But Chester Copperpot.
It's a good name. It's a solid name.
It is a good name. If I ever need a new alias, it's Chester Copperpot.
Chester Copperpot.
Sounds fake, though.
If you ever see anybody going by legitimately going by Chester Copperpot, it's totally not me.
I'll change it up. I'll say I'm Chuck Copperpot. What's that? Has anyone Googled what the Mickey Mantle card is worth that they fucking toss away?
Oh, God. I mean, it
was Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig, yeah.
I mean, either way, it's probably all tore up and
it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, but realistically, if he's been sitting in there dead for 50 years, that thing would have gotten wet and gross.
Yeah, also condition of cards is a very big thing when you're talking about like real money. So
that was not Chester Copperpot. Oh, people are fucking saying shit about fan theories. Fuck off.
Gotta love the internet.
Fan that wasn't themes. Even an AOL thing. That was a Reddit post.
Oh, yeah. No, that doesn't. If you would have asked when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a Reddit thread for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's
fan theories about, yeah.
Okay, so that's why Reddit's saying that as the card they pick up is from 1973. So they're saying that wasn't Copperpot. Because bunch of fucking dorks out there ruining movies.
Oh, yeah, I see that now.
I have a goddamn time machine. I go back and kick the guy I made Cinema Sins in the nuts. Can't enjoy a movie just being a dick.
Again, like applying like logical sense and
watching my son's that's not the watching point of this YouTube movie. Videos that say like plot holes, and I just want to like scream at them to stop.
Yeah,
that'd be a bad father. Instead, I'd just make them watch scary ass movies. all right, so Chester Copperpot gets bought. Also, do you think that stone killed him, or do you think he like just slowly died with a fucking rock on his chest?
Nah, he's dead.
Okay, that's good enough. I think it'd be a real bad.
A big rock like that is you're not going to be breathing after it lands on your midsection.
Yeah, it's going to break some stuff and stab some stuff inside you, and that's. It's not going to be great.
And staff and stuff. Those are all feelings I thought when that asshole made that shot in Arizona a few nights ago.
Oh, God.
He maybe got a couple last breaths in there, but it wouldn't have been much.
So now they're in the cave. We asked Jake if there's anything that he didn't remember from. Sean, when you rewatched this, even though you've seen it probably as much as I had.
I'll give you actually, hey, before Tez says that, one thing I, for some reason, thought, and I don't know where it's coming from, is I thought that there was like a big pile of shit in the cave and not just the stuff on the boat. And I don't know why, as far as like gold and jewels and stuff.
It's the movie poster, right? The other one's like them on top of a bunch of shit, right?
Is it? I don't know. Well,
there's one where they're hanging on stuff, and there's one they're on a pile.
So the IMDb is them hanging.
I feel like there's one where they're on a pile of treasure. This might be a Mandela effect type shit, but
I feel like, yeah, that's a thing that exists.
There is stuff out there that's more similar to that. So maybe that is where my brain got that from. But anyway, sorry, Tez, you can go ahead if there's anything that.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything, I guess, specific that I didn't remember. You know, like I said, there's some of that stuff in the beginning where I just had some gaps in memory where I'm just like, okay, I know there's time to kill here, but I don't necessarily remember what's going on. Like, but as far as like gifts or moments or anything specific, I think I pretty well knew everything that was happening. There was one thing I kind of caught that I didn't remember that I'm surprised isn't kind of a gif or something I've seen more, which is
when Troy trying to murder Bran.
Well, no, that was one of the things that, yeah, that's attempted homicide.
We're gonna come back to that here right now since you're done talking.
But I'm surprised I haven't really ever seen the mom Fratelli saying kids suck float around more. That seems like something that would pop up, but
I mean,
only thing. Oh, her name is literally Mama Fratelli in the cast.
Should I send that to my son's group text and they piss me off?
I think you should.
Team go. Kids suck.
But yeah, other than that, and then also I didn't necessarily remember that the water slide, I mean, the cave down to the ship was just a giant water slide and takes much longer than I thought it did.
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. That slide would fucking murder me. Fucking flat out murder me. Like I don't do water slides anymore because there's a lot of mass going a lot very fast, and that I did one a couple years ago with my son, so he convinced me to do it. And I thought my fat ass was going to fucking fly out. I got there and the guy's like, what do you weigh? I'm like, what's the limit? And he's like, this. I'm like, I'll be okay. I got that in and I'm like, and my son's like, we should do that again. I'm like, no.
Sure ain't.
Go talk to grandpa. He's a little bit smaller than me. I was finding out that fucking thing. Anyways, shit. Oh, yeah. So Bran almost gets murdered. Like, what the fuck? Is like, I
on
get it.
On 80... a child's bicycle.
Yeah. Like, God. And like, and man, that dude's thighs and like calves would be burning riding that fucking bike all the way there.
But like, yeah, those hills. For sure.
Like, that thing ain't no fucking 8 speed. But like, I guess the 80s and dudes are assholes and then they become president, but like he goes so fast it's sparking. The training wheels come off, then he lets him go on a curve. Like Bran is hurt, right? Like he's pretty hurt when he lands that fucking bike.
You'd think so.
That seat is up his ass. Or his taint is stabbed. Like
he's at the very least, he's at the mercy of hoping that is not a big drop off going off the cliff at 40 miles per hour.
They show him like getting pretty decent air coming off the edge of that road. Like if there's a tree 5 feet off and he just catches that full body, that's, you're going to have a bad time. That's going to be another situation of broken things and broken ribs inside you stabbing.
Yeah. Parts of you realistically, he's lucky if he can like move and get himself to a hospital after getting
I'm not, but you know, that's fine. All right, so let's go to the questions as we move through the movie. So, like, they're down the cave, as we said. Chunk's still there because, you know, dead body in a freezer. Also, shitty friends leaving Chunk, but you know, whatever. Like, how do you not know you don't have someone in your party? Just saying. Frodo never would.
What do you mean?
Well, Frodo leaves everybody behind. So yeah, he did. He would.
Initially.
They leave Chunk. They leave Chunk behind. Like, they don't realize he's not downstairs. It's fine. Famous actor in a small role is Joey Pants, probably. Unless you think Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it has to be Joey Pants.
Probably Joey Pants. I mean, it's him or Josh Brolin, but
I mean, the mom in this movie showed up in a ton of shit. Like, she's in Gremlins.
Yeah, I was trying to look at that to see, like, she's how in much Lethal stuff Weapon. She was in.
She's a newscaster in Die Hard. She's a newscaster in Die Hard.
Yeah, the problem is, like, she was just old when this came out, so all of the stuff is basically, well, it's Scrooge or older.
I dare
basically.
You to look at her age when this came out, since you called her old.
She looked pretty old.
Okay. Now you're just trying to hurt me. It's fine. One of my low-key favorite parts of this movie is when...
50.
She was not 50 when this fucking movie came out.
55, 56?
I think we're talking about different ones.
I'm talking about fucking Mikey's mom.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, sorry.
She's in Die Hard.
She's, yeah.
The Fratelli's mom is from Throw Mom from the Train, which I'd love to see how that fucking movie holds up. You guys don't know what movie I'm talking about. That's fine. I'm old.
Nope, but don't.
Has Danny DeVito, and the whole thing is like they're going to throw their crazy ass mom from a train, make it look like it's a suicide. Hence the movie. She's awful in it. Tony DeVito? Danny DeVito? I do think one of my favorite parts of the movie is when, like, Chunk almost gets away and he's like, they're killing people. They're awful. And then it's the fucking dude, one of the Vernelli brothers. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It just clicks that light on. yeah. That was Billy Crystal. Something.
A bitter writing teacher wants his successful ex-wife dead. A put upon mama's boy writing student wants his overbearing mother dead. Will they conspire to kill each other's problems?
Oh my God.
I don't think that movie's getting made in 2025.
No, I don't think so either.
Kind of watch it though.
I had kind of forgotten about how Chunk actually got caught.
Twice.
Oh yeah. So I was at first I thought he like tried to follow them down the fireplace and like just didn't make it, but obviously that wasn't the case. And then I thought they found him in the freezer, and that obviously was not, you know, the whole thing either. But it is, yeah, the delivery of running out onto the road and getting one car to drive by, and then he stops the second one, and it's the Fratelli brothers.
Well, let's talk about Chunk. And Jake, do you have thoughts on Chunk? I think Chunk, he might steal the movie a little bit. He has some fucking winning shit in this movie.
Yes, there are some really good parts with him. When they're interrogating him and they don't believe him,
yes,
and they tell him, like, give us the whole story or whatever they say. And he just unloads every small like thing that he's ever done in his life that's not good.
I legit laughed in the theater when he's talking about the puking thing.
Yeah.
They're all puking all over each other.
And then they started puking on each other.
Yeah. So bad.
Because they cut back and forth from that scene, or like that, like when he's doing that, like three, I think they like basically go to it three times and bounce back and forth.
And I love when like the singing Fratelli brothers, like, I like this guy. I like this dude.
he's certainly really good with that. Yeah, there are parts that he's really good. I don't know if I would say he like steals it, but there's definitely parts where it's like, okay, that was really, really good.
Or like all the Sloth interactions when like Sloth knocks him over and like the whole baby roof thing, you know, like baby roof.
Yeah. Yeah. When when Sloth picks him up in the chair and everything and is holding him. And then when he makes the call to the sheriff too, and he's just giving it, and the sheriff's just like, wait, is this Chunk, you know, is this Lawrence, you know, Lawrence, and he just starts rattling up. Is this like when all the 50 Iranian terrorists were at all the steakhouses in town and, you know, all of this stuff. And he's just got this rap sheet of all of the things that Chunk has done over the years. And,
and then he gets hung up on. And he's just like,
yeah,
I can understand that, like, Chunk is Boy Who Cried Wolf, but, like, maybe like, you know, go check that out. Like, maybe go find out where that call came from. Can they trace calls in 85? Like, what's the 911 system look like then? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Had to be on the line hooked up to the system for 60 seconds or whatever they always did in the movies.
We're tracking him. We're tracing him.
Gotta keep him on the line. I don't know what that any of that actually looked like then.
All right. So, Jake, I feel like I'm going to give you this one because I know how your brain works. Explain them fucking with the pipes and how that works at all. I'm gonna give you a minute and go.
I mean, again, I don't know that we need to try and apply actual logistical sense. I mean, some of that could happen maybe if you're like directly under and not like through several feet and turns of pipes and everything, but
I think if you yank on some pipes underground in a cave,
yeah, it's gonna
they will pull the handles out of a shower.
Yeah,
that'll happen. Yeah, that's how
many of those.
It'll pull a drinking fountain down to the ground.
Yeah, no,
I did like when I watched this in the theater that I always thought the pipes were in the cave, and I was like, why the fuck is this? This doesn't make any sense. And then when they break the pipe, it like shoots. Into the wall out. So
I do have some questions about the overall layout of the, I don't know if you want to call it a map or whatever that they go.
Well,
through
I don't think the map is actually right. I think they.
No, it's not. I'm not the map. The actual map itself. It's just like if you drew a like. Okay, they started here at the restaurant, and then they went down the fireplace, and then they went here, and then they went here, and it's like.
I don't think the restaurant's the right spot. I think they got lucky. They went down that spot, found the pipes, and then the pipes burst open. That's
yeah, I mean,
found.
Once again, I'm not actually going to try and apply like actual directions and dimensions to it. It's just it's like they go a long way down and over and stuff, and then go through that big ass water slide that's in the cave and
don't know about the octopus that they
then end up at ocean sea level.
The octopus that they mentioned that doesn't show up and
Data talks about that didn't actually happen.
It happened. You just got to go watch an extra scene because they didn't like how it looked. When they pop out of the water, which my son looked it up. When they pop out of the water slide, they find an octopus.
I wondered about that because that was like very blatantly like Data says that. And I was like,
yeah.
You know, my youngest one tracked it down because I always knew there was a scene and like, yeah, they filmed it. They just didn't like how it looked.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, that'd be all right. Anyways. I do like when I watch this, rewatching it, like you can see the big ass rocks above them when they're in that tunnel before they start falling. And if they just looked up, they would see them. But,
All right. And this is another question that shouldn't actually have to be answered, but it popped into my head. So, what's his nuts got crushed by one of the rocks? Right. And he's laying there. How did he trigger one that's like the fourth one of the like eight and got crushed by it? But the rest of them are all hanging there. And then when Mikey pulls on the rope, triggers the rest of them. How the fuck did that work? Like, it's not a question that needs to be answered or can be answered, but it's like, if you trigger the mechanism, it started from the beginning and went to the end, but somehow he triggered the middle one.
Release the mechanism. Release the mechanism.
I was like, Kevin that doesn't Costner make
says,
sense. But
perfect game for the love of the game. Anyways,
reset the mechanism.
All right. So one of the cool parts about this movie I really like, and like this little. So when they're in the well, and this is like a little TGS inside trivia, and I realize both of you were not here when we discussed this. One of the original ideas for the Tailgate Society website was "It's Our Time Now" for a name or. A variation of that from this movie, which I'm glad we didn't go with, but like that was
down here, it's our time,
yeah. Like, so it was gonna be like it's our time,
yeah.com,
and that was like a front runner for a while.
Hmm.
That's a good fucking quote. Like, when, like, they, like, decide that, like, they're not taking the easy way out. Like, there's, even though I'm not sure.
We go up there, it's over. Down here, it's our time.
Even though I'm not sure the logistics of them going up on a well basket. But
yeah.
You
know. Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised that it took the three guys at the top getting the bucket all the way to the top to realize there was not a human being in it. Yeah.
Well, you know, they're not the smartest fucking tools in the shed. You know, especially Troy. Fuck Troy. Troy probably makes six figures right now. You know?
Classic anyway. Asshole.
Yeah. So, all right, let me look at the questions here. I don't think there's any gifts from this movie. Because, like we've mentioned before, like, 80s, early 90s, like, I mean...
I don't think there are any, like, as I say, I feel like there's, like, probably some sloth gifts, but I don't think there's anything that's, like, crazy overly used gift-wise.
Let's transition this, unless Sean has one. Quotes from the movie. We're just discussing it's our time now. I love that. But goddamn, hey, you guys.
Oh, the child, that's,
yeah.
By far the number one quote.
I mean, yeah, it's that one. Goonies never say die.
Yeah, that was one of our Ozark trips. What slogans was Ozarks never say die.
Yeah,
I do love. It's not a like used quote, at least not for any context or group that I've been around. But when Data turns on the like the printing machine, it's like $50 bill. $50 bill. There's like hundreds of them.
How does that printing machine work, man? That shit's only on one side of the paper. Like is Data just not doing it right? Like,
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a counterfeit expert or printing machine expert.
Assuming there's another one, yeah, you just gotta flip them and print the other side. But yeah, I don't.
I mean, yeah, I think that was a legit. I don't want to say like. I don't think it's like a legit bill printing machine, but it looked like as soon as it turned on, I was like, oh, that's like a newspaper printer or something. So it's right, a legit printing machine.
So speaking of quotes, before we keep going, everything Mouse says to the cleaning lady is gold. And also, yeah. And also like that part in the statue, when I'm watching my kids is like,
The statue is a crazy thing for it.
Let's discuss the statue.
It's right away. They
break the dick off.
The statue of David.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Chunk drops it or whatever, goes to set it down off the table. It falls and the dick gets broken off.
No way the dick gets broken off. I'm like, how far that thing
goes. I mean, that's like a relic of the 80s, like comedy sketch, like that got put in the movie with the kids. Because I think Mikey literally said that's my mom's favorite part when he
writes
it up and it's broke.
And then she says something like, what the shit? And they're like, no, she says, oh my God. And they're like, what the shit?
Or like the mess of the chips on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was just that was just in there. It didn't need to be there, obviously.
It's
or at least
funny.
Not in that way, but it is funny.
And everything Mouse says to the cleaning lady or the new help.
The marijuana goes up here. The coke goes in here.
The sexual
goes
deviant.
Down here. And yeah, you don't go up there. All of Mr. whatever's sexual.
We will stick you in the closet and you will not get, like, you know.
Get no food or water for two weeks. You'll be stuck in here with
which
the
makes me question. Which makes me come to the question is, why does she come to their rescue at the end? When she could just be like, I'm pocketing this shit. Those kids are assholes. Like
that
whole thing with her in general is like kind of iffy to me, doesn't need to be there type of thing. There's a lot of ways that movie happens without having to bring a apparently non-English speaking Hispanic woman in the Pacific Northwest into the movie to do almost nothing.
I think she's in it just to be the one that saves the day, though. Like the one.
But why you can do that without her?
I mean.
Yeah, I mean, she's literally there for, yeah.
She's there for the Corey Feldman Spanish part and
then
basically
yeah,
the end.
Marble bag. Yeah.
Like that's.
Anybody could have found a marble bag in the co. Like it's.
All right. Also,
it's not necessary, but yes.
I'm not saying the movie needs canceled for like having her in it and the stuff they do with her,
buddy,
but I'm also saying it's
if
unnecessary.
It's getting, if it's getting canceled, it's getting canceled for sloth and the fact that that's a dude in makeup.
Right. I'm just saying it's not necessary and is yeah, probably right. not being done that way today.
For, all right, so now we're at the they're in the whale. Well, they're continuing on. They go down. What do you guys all think of? What's your favorite part? Oh, no, wait. No, what's your goosebumps? Is there a goosebumps part in this movie? Because I think the well part's as close to a goosebumps part as you get.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Either that or that we're not signing today. We're not signing ever. You know.
I think it's the well. Goonies never say die. I mean, it's
mouth being like, "This is my wish. This is mine. I'm taking this one back." You know, which adds.
I don't think there is a goosebumps. At least I don't think for me there is a goosebumps moment. But there's a couple, two or three that are probably close enough that you could put them in there.
Up to the line,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it would be. I think you could almost make one of like the ship coming out if they actually got any of the stuff on there. But
we're going to get there. But those motherfuckers could have hit that shit a lot more places. I'm just saying. Shove that shit down your junk. Like the Fratellis aren't fucking going down there near your junk looking for shit. I'm just saying. Maybe they are. I don't fucking know. But of course, they didn't know the Fratellis are coming, right? Like, that's the whole point. Like, I didn't have time. I'm like, to hide it. Yeah, I think God Chunk is and Sloth is a choice. I love Sloth, but I have questions. All right, so then let's discuss the piano scene before we get to our favorite parts of the movie. Cause then we're at the piano scene. We already had the pinchers of Pearl that Don't Data saves his ass with, which some strong ass fucking chompy teeth, right?
Apparently
the strongest ever made in the 80s. That's
I think you're called the Pinchers of Peril. All
right. Sure.
So they get to the piano scene. There's some quality lines in that piano scene. Like Mouse says something like, "I believe in you, but also if you fuck up, we're dead." Right, like he says along those lines, like,
yeah, it is something like that.
Like, I believe that you're going to get this right, but also you can mess up one more time, we're smoked.
Yeah, there's a few of them in there for sure where they're it's a little bit of banter with all the
they're trying to keep your calm,
the chaos that's going on, yeah, because they got the Fratellis right behind them.
Oh, shit. I can't tell if it's an A sharp or a B flat. Well, if you hit the wrong note, we're all B flat.
All B flat. That was Mikey.
Yeah.
That was probably the best one. That was Mikey.
And then when she runs back across the ramp to get the map, and then you realize that they just don't ever need the map again anyway.
the Fratellis can just like sneak around the corner. Like,
right, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, are you not going to look for some way to maybe like close the fucking door back up, or I don't know, let it fall down, or I don't know, something.
Yeah, they don't do a very good job of trying to lose a tail.
Cover your tracks a little bit.
It was also nice that after Data does the oil on the log that, you know, would have flat out fucking murdered me, that a big ass bunch of water comes flying down and washes them.
Yeah, away. That was interestingly convenient.
It's just good timing, you know, play your environment.
If you do, I mean, Ted Lasso just said if you play good enough, you don't need luck. Also, Matt Campbell says that shit.
And also that Joey Pants, when he slips on it, does a perfect flip and falls right on it, doesn't fall off of it with all that water rushing in.
I mean, and then, you know, both they're like nuts just get smoked. But like, so we get to the pirate ship. Also, there's an octopus fight at some point. That we don't see?
We don't see, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine like going through all that shit? You do the water slide of death, you hit the water, and then you have to fight a fucking octopus? Like a giant octopus? Like, at some point, you're like, are you fucking kidding me right now, universe? Like,
we made it through all the tests, and now you're going to have an octopus here that we have to get rid of?
Because it's not like fucking One-Eyed Willie made a fucking octopus, right? No. Like, that's just the fucking...
That's what I mean, like, yeah, that's just a... Right, extra real, F you.
Nature protecting it at that point. Yeah.
Real quick question before we end up on our favorite parts, because I'm me and I'm a chubby motherfucker. What the fuck do they try feeding sloth the first time around? Is that like seafood? Like, what is on that goddamn platter?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't look super close when I, like,
you know, I watched it on a theater screen, so I got a real good close look at it.
I thought it was just like vegetables and stuff, but
yeah,
I mean, seafood would make sense.
Onions or something. Yeah,
it looked like a seafood platter. Like, it seemed like more like, where are they getting that food for that man in that shitty ass restaurant, abandoned restaurant?
Well, I mean, they would bring it from like the town or whatever, probably.
They just got out of jail.
Well, that is true. Well, one of them did. The other two weren't in jail.
Yeah, I think the other two were just wanted, maybe, already.
Can we ask Sloth what he thinks about the new Pete Carroll hire? He's a Raiders fan. He has a Raiders shirt on.
I bet Sloth has some ideas about the last 40 years of Raiders management.
I'm sure he does.
He's probably on the message boards being like, bring Gruden back.
You got, okay, never mind, just keep going.
So anyways, they fight an octopus, they go on the ship,
they don't we don't actually see them fight an octopus, but apparently
we're also missing that point. We also forgot that Mikey gets his first kiss.
Yeah,
and she's like, is he shorter, like, was he in a hole, like, and her friend is like, watches it and laughs, which is great, you know.
Yeah, she recognizes like what's going on the whole time and just like laughs at her. It's like, okay. Also, yeah, like, no, Bran had braces.
When did Bran get braces?
Like, come on, what are we doing here?
I'm curious about how that conversation goes later on with Bran and Mikey being kissing Eskimo brothers. You know, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, even. After
Bran
they get
probably
out
doesn't care
because like
Bran
talking.
Is an amazing.
I mean, yeah, they just like blow past it as far as like them to his brothers, and it never is a thing. So
Bran is an amazing big brother. Like, he hugs him at the beginning of the movie and like drags him, being like, yeah, it's gonna be okay. Like, Bran is a good shit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to be a responsible older brother. It's just, boy, things were just not falling his way that evening. It's,
does Bran have friends, or is he just hanging out with Mikey's friends? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Where are Bran's buddies at? Anyways, I'm talking shit about Bran.
Well, I don't know that. Yeah, it is interesting because like the way it's like, I don't know. Well, it's the weird like high school dynamic. Like, there's weird dynamics there. It's like, he's like, yeah, I've got a date with her Friday before I leave, but she's hanging out with asshole, and
we just failed his driving test, so he's 16.
Yeah, that, yeah. Wow.
And that man looks, he's a big fucking 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Man, if Mikey's only a few years later, man, that kid's either missed the gene pool or he's gonna sprout up real quick. Because Mikey's 12.
Yeah, got quite the growth spurt coming in him.
And considering how tall I know Rudy is, ain't gonna hit.
No.
All right, let's get to the pirate ship. Sean's yawning. Get to the pirate ship.
I mean, Brolin was down. 17.
What the fuck?
In 85. So, yeah. I mean, Josh Brolin's a big dude, so I'm not surprised. But
he killed half the universe.
There's also, did he play Cable at some point?
He does play Cable. I love Josh Brolin, man. Whenever that man shows up in a movie, I'm like, I'm in. Like, he's good shit.
I'm not like a huge fan of him. Like,
his
I'm
dad's
not,
also
I'm not
James
not
Brolin.
A fan of him.
His dad's James Brolin, who's also a famous actor. But so pirate ship, they get there. We have all the gold in the ship. After they don't find it, and like, I think Mouth is all of us. Like, Mouth is all of us. You survived all that shit. You fought off an octopus, and there's no gold. And he's just like, "What the fuck, Mikey?" You promised us gold.
Data's having like almost a full meltdown there too. And he's just like, you can see even just he's rambling on about just like, what in the world is going on? Why was this a thing? And we're here and there's nothing here.
He's a dude from the end of the rock. That's like, where's the fucking money? You said we're going to do the thing. We're going to threaten San Francisco. where's the money? And Mouth is all of us. His Mouth is like, we survived this shit. We need paid. Right. I'm going to discuss One-Eyed Willie and his crewmates all being dead. And then we're going to discuss our favorite parts. We're going to finish this podcast. Does he kill everybody? Do they all kill each other?
That was the legend, right? That he once, like at the end, he killed the whole crew.
Yeah,
by himself.
Yeah,
like do you think like did like one in time, like serial killers scream shit, or like
I don't know, slowly convince them one by one that one of them needs to die so he can kill them without.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like at some point they're like, sure. "Why is everyone dying here?" Like,
yeah, I mean, again, it's applying actual logical sense is not.
Yeah,
when I feel Jake judging me through the fucking microphone,
I'm not judging you because I've also done this about four times in the movie, and while I was watching it, I did it multiple times, and then I was like, no, we don't need to do this. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys underneath that they pull a sword out of, like, right. Just bodies strewn around, and then you get to like the captain's quarters there, but there's just like six dudes that
were around the table.
In my head. At some point, Willie's like, no, no, we're fine. Then, like, half the crew realizes that he's fucking with him, and the other half's still loyal to him.
Or maybe he got him into enough of a cult situation that he was like, hey, we're all going to drink this and die. Drink
the Kool-Aid, yeah.
I'm told TGS is a cult.
What could be?
Well,
the only Kool-Aid we have is extremely alcoholic apple pie.
So your apple pie is our Kool-Aid.
Don't drink this all in one setting. All right, so what's everyone's favorite part of the movie before we finish up the podcast? Or parts, plural.
If I had to pick just a singular moment, it's definitely the hey you guys and having Sloth.
Dude, man, I would love to rewatch this for the first time, not knowing Sloth is going to show up. Like, just pure, like,
yeah, it's super good. I like the in like a like cool scene setup, like the whole thing that they made for it, like just the cave with the boat in it is really cool.
Like, there's some pretty amazing practical effects.
That was all that looked like. I don't know exactly how they did it all, but they made a lot of stuff and it looked really good. I think maybe the best part of the movie is either if you want to group Data's like little quips and using his inventions together, or just the Chunk interrogation, like. Scene cutting like back and forth where he like tells them the truth, you know, they don't believe him, and then when asked for more, he just goes into, like we were talking about earlier, goes into his whole life, every little thing he's ever done that was like not good, but then he has some really really great ones in there about like just things he's done that
Knocking his sister down the stairs and blaming it on the dog, and
yeah, it's just like it's so good.
And he just on a history just keeps test
going.
And,
yep.
It's a really good, and like you said earlier, as far as like it's not all at once, and I think that's what helps it is the cutbacks where they go on, you know, they go show what everybody else is doing, and then they come back and it's like, oh, Chunk's still spilling his guts about all of the things he's messed up in his life. And
it would be like if they just kept it together even and made it all one part without cutting away, it would be super long and probably get like feel drawn out. But also by doing the cut, like cutting back and forth, they make it feel like he's doing it for like 30 minutes to these people, which is absolutely hilarious that they would just be sitting there listening to this like 10-year-old kid spill his guts about the random stupid shit he's done.
Yeah, he's got a and that's where, you know, you think about just what's all the stuff include, what are the things you don't hear, you know, what are the other things he's been crying and spilling his guts about. Yeah, it is. That's solid. I've, like I said, I've always been just a sucker for that for the sloth, for just the off screen, hey you guys, and then he slides down, and then also when he gets the, once he's down there with his brothers and they're arguing, and he just rips off that shirt with the Superman.
He's
shirt
got the underneath. Superman.
And then, yeah, I mean, yeah, and then he just gets them tied up and lifts them up the mast and throws his mom off the ship. And
well, he comes in with the hey,
to the whole thing.
Yeah, the hey you guys, and doing the like the callback to the pirate show that was on the TV. He was sitting there watching with the like sword in the sail ripping, sliding down, and yeah, that is by far the most iconic thing from the movie.
She even says she drops him. I only dropped you once, not twice, you know.
Yeah, like, once, maybe twice. It's like, yeah, okay.
I didn't think it was funny as I was watching with my kids and that part happened, and like they're like, doesn't he bop their heads? Like they thought like when he first grabbed the ropes, he's gonna bop their heads.
Yeah.
And then he just decides to give him full ass concussions, you know.
Yeah.
I think
you know, effective.
Gets the job done. I think my favorite scene, and this is me being a parent and a sap, is like all the reunion.
The end, yeah.
Data telling his dad that he doesn't need a photograph.
Oh, that's pretty good.
You know, like Chunk's parents being like, "We got pizza." You know, like,
got you, Tommy, your favorite Domino's pizza.
You know, like, and like Brant and Mikey being like, "I thought we could save it," and their parents being like, "It doesn't matter." Like all that shit is just, it's gold. You know, even though they can't turn on that jewels that quick. But it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not gonna be able to like get a valuation and sell those for $1 million.
Unless we think someone's parents has a fence nearby. Do they show Mouse parents? They show Mouse and the girl kissing or getting ready to kiss.
I think they do.
You know.
But it's I think if they do, it's peripherally or like in the background, they don't make a like full statement, like greeting about it. I don't think.
But like
I don't think there's a focus on them anyway. But
I do feel like the ending, like we all said, like is the most iconic part of the movie. The walk the plank. You know, can you swim? About can you? Do you think you guys should swim with no hands? Well, yeah, on that. You think you're dying?
Yeah, probably not. I would. I mean, I could maybe get my head above water for a minute. But it would.
That's where being a chubby motherfucker like me works. So I would just float.
I mean,
I'd be watching you fuckers drown. I'm like, oh, I'm bobbing up there like Kirby ate something. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how exactly she got so far away from the boat with her hands tied like that.
Well, no, Brand grabs her.
Yeah, he grabs her, but they come straight up, and they are a long ways away from that boat when they come up above water.
Swimming through fucking octopus carcass. You know, like chunks of octopus. I assume they kill the octopus. I need to watch that scene. Maybe they fucking give them the map.
I have no idea.
Also, before we let everyone go, One-Eyed Willie's booby trap with the weights don't make any sense. Like, what's the point of that?
No, it's the like. I thought it was good and made a lot of sense, and Mikey even like alludes to it, like, no, that's One-Eyed Willie's, like, respect, like, leave but him why, his.
But why would you touch the one though? Like the scale, like what, like?
Because you're greedy and you want all of it.
I guess, you know.
It was a like very last, like, do you understand what these like booby traps are supposed to be, or this is whatever, like this is a, I mean, it's probably deeper than it needs to be, but it's like, this is a trial of like, can you beat me and my creativity? And then you get here and you're going to, you know, are you going to respect me? Or are you going to take my money?
If we bullshit in our 2 minutes, I can tell you what Mouse says to her before they die on the piano. It's coming up in my closed caption that we could figure out earlier.
Ted, You are usually this person, and I didn't rewind to double check any of it, but did Corey Feldman have like some overlaps or reshoots in this movie where his hair was cut short?
He definitely, it's definitely early on that motherfucker as a vampire.
Super. He had like long hair early. And then I'm pretty sure there's scenes later when they're like, after they're like in the water or something, where his hair is like pretty short.
He at piano is pretty sure, and that man motherfucker.
Yeah,
he definitely had.
Like, you're usually the guy that like somehow knows the like trivia, I mean, the like, crossovers of movies.
Oh, look, you know, or like, you know, rookie of the year when they're fucking in school through the entire fucking summer.
No, it's not about the logistics like that. I'm talking about like in real life. Like,
I feel like it'd be
they brought him back to like reshoot scenes later when he was already doing something else or whatever.
I feel like it'd be in the goof section because, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
his hair was definitely shorter at points in the movie than it was.
It got long. Yeah.
But I didn't know if there were like good reasons.
I want to see what he says here. Hang on. If you hit the wrong note, we're all flat. Maybe it's fucking Mikey being a dick. No, I agree, man. His hair is pretty goddamn long.
Well,
I've never caught that or paid attention to it.
It's usually not a thing that I.
It's when it's dry. When it's dry, it's like a big ass mane of hair.
Well, it's early because, like, I think even later when it gets dry, when it's drier, it doesn't look like as nearly as long as at the very beginning of the movie. But it was just something that there was at one point in the movie where it was like, I was like, that looks like way, way shorter than it was in the beginning. And that's the only reason it popped out to me. Normally those aren't things that I like try to find or super pay attention to.
And now again, watching this water slide thing, which how smooth that thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into. We'd all die on that. I mean, I would anyways. I'm glad they had fun though. And they found an octopus.
That we never got to see.
That we never got to see. Any last notebook thoughts on this?
Tez, anything?
I don't think I have anything else. I think we hit everything that I had down or wanted to bring up anyway. So
the only other thing I had that we did not touch on was Sloth was played by John Matuszak, who they brought in to play. He was a football player. He played in like the NFL. He played in college and then played in the NFL. He's not like a famous football player, but like he's a guy that they brought in that it was like, you don't have to act really, but you have to just be this big dude that's willing to put this makeup on and be strong as hell.
Dude, is that this man from fucking Saved by the Bell, New Class?
Oh. No, he died in 89. So he died not too long after this movie, unfortunately.
That's sad.
Yeah, heart failure. Football player probably juiced up for a while and didn't help him out. That's my assumption anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's probably not a bad assumption.
Yeah, he was 6'7". He was probably 300 pounds in this movie, something like that.
He was in 14 episodes of a movie show called Hollywood Beat.
Yeah, that's what I thought was interesting because I had never looked into like who played Sloth or
right
anything like that. So I read up on that a little bit today.
That's sad.
He's in North Dallas 40.
That might be where I know him from. Cause we watched that movie together.
Yeah, I think it looks like he did several things probably in the like mid-80s or 80, yeah, 80 to mid-80s. So
he's a big motherfucker.
Yeah.
I
said 6'7", probably 300. Yeah, big dude.
I mean, that's yeah. We don't have time to get into it, but I want to know how the water slide goes into the three openings at the end, but that's fine. It's one slide. Yeah.
It's it's a fair question.
It's just for fun. That's fine.
Yeah. Also, the fucking, do you think they stabbed that skeleton with the knives in the eyes before he was dead?
Yes. Or do you
think that's how he died?
That'd be a rotten way to go.
It reminds me of my son's favorite quote from a movie, and we'll call it a day after this. So we were watching 28 Days Later, and someone kills a dude by shoving his like thumbs into his eyeballs. And my son goes, "What do you think that feels like?" I'm like, "Which guy? The thumbs or the eyeballs?"
Oh my goodness! I hope he was thinking the guy getting his eyes crushed out. Oh, no.
I hope your child isn't wondering what it's like to pop somebody's eyeballs.
I'm glad you clarified, but I hope that's what he was talking about.
I put it on Twitter. I
don't know. Oh, no.
I can't remember what Gavin said.
Just to make sure you're not raising a serial killer?
I mean, I think I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, like, no. That's a crazy question, because my brain would have not even have thought of that. Like, yeah, do you think that feels like squeezing jelly out of somebody's eyes?
Right, so watching 28 Days Later, dude killed a guy by showing his thumbs in his eyeballs. All right, so I said back with me. What do you think that feels like, my son? Your thumbs or your face? Me, your thumbs.
Oh, so you're the serial killer. Okay.
I bet it feels awful.
Goodness gracious. I don't. Okay.
That feels awful either way. Just saying. All right. Sure. Until next time, we have not discussed what we're doing next. I might push these guys. Actually, this will be our Valentine's Day movie. This makes sense.
It's a couple little love stories in there.
We're going to kind of straddle the. We're going to straddle Valentine's Day.
That's what she said. Anyways, till next time, guys. Goonies' nearest a guy. This is our time.